7 FM Reedsburg, AM 740, and streaming live everywhere.
Next FM 99.7.
We take you live to First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
Good morning, church. Welcome on this lovely Sunday morning. It can get warm, but we'll manage. So welcome, everyone. It is good to be together. A few announcements before we get started. We will have an ice cream social after church on July 27th. So please plan to come. Please plan to stay. Ice cream and some toppings. Fun. And then we'll have a fall picnic in September. Still looking at the date. I think we've got the chicken dinner about pinned down on the 7th. So after that. But pencil it in until you can write it in pen. Tamara is our greeter this morning. Marcy was going to be our liturgist, but she isn't feeling well, so. Jamie and Karen Whitwer are the radio sponsors in honor of Jamie's mom, Margaret Whitwer's birthday on July 11th. You can let us know if you'd like to sponsor a radio broadcast. It's $90 a week, and it's an important ministry for our church. We have a number of folks who listen on the radio or watch online. Marcy and mostly Steve now are our coffee hour hosts. And now here are First UCC welcome. First United Church of Christ, Sauk City, is an open and affirming congregation. This is what everyone is welcome means to us. Whoever you are, whatever your story, however you identify, whomever you love, we would value your friendship and welcome you into our community. Every part of you is precious to God, and all of who you are is welcome at First UCC. So come to worship. Be nourished by bread and cup at Jesus' table. Stay to serve Sauk City and beyond. We look forward to getting acquainted. This morning we're going to hear in our scripture from Amos about the plumb line, God's measure of goodness, about responsibility, about doing good. And then we hear the Good Samaritan parable in Luke. So you'll see lots of Good Samaritan art. Now let's take a few moments of silence to come into this holy time this holy space. You may have rushed to get here this morning. Let that go. Take a deep breath and let it out. Be at peace. God is with us.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship as printed in your bulletin or on the screen. The world cries to us in distress. How shall we answer?
We have passed by, so nothing is wrong.
How shall we answer?
We cannot become so focused on ourselves that others mean nothing to us.
How shall we answer?
We shall be the neighbor in service, reconciliation, and compassion, wherever you can. We shall love. Amen.
Please remain standing while we sing our opening hymn, number 539 in our New Century hymnal, Won't You Let Me Be Your Servant.
Thank you. Now join me in our prayer of unburdening. Is this okay? The microphone had fallen off a little bit. God of the oppressed, we confess that it's sometimes easier to ignore those in need than it is to help them. We confess that we sometimes ask ourselves, what will it cost us? What will others think? Rather than remembering your call for our neighbors, whether we think they deserve it or not. Forgive us. Help us to repent of our embarrassment at those in need and turn instead toward empathy and compassion. We pray this in the name of your Son, who teaches us how to love all of our neighbors. Amen. And hear this assurance of God's grace. My friends, take comfort. We are human, fallible people in need of redirection and second chances. And the good news is we believe in infinite mercy. We are forgiven. May we respond to this grace with grateful hearts, attuned to the pursuit of justice, mercy, and hope for all, for which we all say, whatever words are comfortable. As you know, it says, as a suggestion in the bulletin. Remember, some people are huggers and some are not. And if this is not a thing that feels comfortable to you, that's okay too. Let us pass the peace. This is our time for children. We don't have any kids with us here today. Gotta turn around this whole it's summertime, nobody comes thing. God's still here. And also outside. But let us pray. Holy God, we ask your blessing on all the children in our lives, the kids in our church, in our families, in our hearts. May they grow in wisdom and in faith. May they grow in love of you, love of their neighbors, all their neighbors, and love of themselves. In your name we pray. Amen. And now let's hear some of our ancient stories, our scripture.
Today's First Testament reading is from Amos chapter 7, verses 7 through 17. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, earn your bread there, and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel. For it's the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from the following the flock. And the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel, and do not preach against the house of Isaac. Therefore thus says the Lord, your wife shall become a prostitute in the city, and your sons and daughters shall fall by the sword, and your land shall be parceled out by line. You yourself shall die in an unclean land, and Israel shall surely go into exile away from its land. Here ends our reading.
Gospel reading this morning is from Luke 10:25-37. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever money you spent. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. You know those movies or books with a twist ending where suddenly you get there and the whole thing is different, like The Sixth Sense or Gone Girl, some older ones, Psycho, Planet of the Apes. Everything that had come before, you have to reevaluate. This parable of the Good Samaritan is a very familiar story. Even those of us who didn't grow up in church know this story well. It's a story that I love. And there can be dangers in familiarity. So the lawyer asks, and it's important to know he is testing Jesus. The same word is used in the temptation in the wilderness. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, he wasn't asking about heaven. That wasn't a developed idea until later. He was asking about life in this world. How do you have meaning beyond the present moment? How do you live a life that connects you to God? A life that is saturated by grace. How do you live a good life that has a legacy? And then Jesus does the rabbi thing by asking a question. He answers, what does the law say? And how do you interpret it? You don't just quote the lines from the Bible. You have to have a way to figure out how to apply them to life. So far, it's pretty easy, right? Love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor. Jesus says, yep, you got it. Do this, and you'll live. But then the lawyer pushes a little bit further. Who is my neighbor? The question isn't so much who is my neighbor as who is not my neighbor. Who do I not have to love this way? How far out do I have to go? I'm okay with, like, I love my family, my friends, my church folks. I'll even love most all of Sauk City. Sauk County is getting a little rare. How far out do I have to go? So Jesus responds, a story about a man on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho. This is an 18-mile journey. It's downhill into barren conditions. Jericho is an ancient city on an oasis, but surrounded by not much of anything. It was a thoroughfare for people who had to get to Jerusalem, but it was also notorious, kind of isolated. There were lots of bandits there. So you start a story this way. Once upon a time, a man went to Jericho from Jerusalem. It's once upon a time, a man walked into Skid Row. People know something's going to happen. So he falls among thieves who strip him and beat him and leave him for dead after they rob him. And along comes a priest. And you think, he's going to help. He's going to help. He's a man of God. He's all dressed up in his godly robes and stuff. And he's going to help. That's his duty. But no. He walks over on the other side of the street. This is not a wide road. To walk on the other side of the street, he probably still almost had to step over him. It's a narrow path. A lot of commentaries provide motives for the priest, but it doesn't give us any in the text. We don't know if he was in a hurry. We don't know if he was scared. It would have been reasonable, but we don't know. We just know what he does, and that's what matters. After the priest, a Levite came along. This is another good religious person. They take care of worship and religious business, and he passes by also. So two people who represent institutions that should help pass by. And to say that there was animosity between the Jews and Samaritans would be a serious understatement. They hated each other. It was divisive. They had hated each other for a very long time. To call somebody a Samaritan, there was a terrible insult. If you saw a Samaritan, you're supposed to cross over to the other side of the road. Because if you touch them, you are ritually impure. Even the way we call this story the Good Samaritan has a little bit of cringe to it. So there was one Good Samaritan. So along comes this Samaritan, and he has compassion. The biblical word for compassion is the same root as womb. He is deeply touched. He feels this caring inside. And moved by compassion, he goes to save the guy. He binds his wounds, puts him up on his own animal, takes him to an inn and opened an account. And he said, whatever it takes, get him well. Then Jesus asks the lawyer, which of these three was a neighbor? And the lawyer says, the one who showed mercy, because he doesn't even want to say the word Samaritan. And Jesus says, go and do likewise. I said there are dangers. One, we identify with the wrong character in the story. We all want to identify with the Good Samaritan, right? We really do. That's not why Jesus tells the story. He's telling a story about the failure of good religious folks to good religious folks. So good religious folks shouldn't hear this and think, oh, I'm a good religious person. A contemporary example might be a good, nice Christian, several good, nice Christians walk right past people who go to church every Sunday and who donate and who volunteer, and they step over the person in the ditch. And then along comes a guy with a motorcycle, and he is covered in tattoos. And he helps this person up and puts him on the motorcycle and takes him into the inn. A black boy in a hoodie on his bike. A homeless person helps him up and somehow gets him into his shopping cart. John Dominic Crossan, the biblical scholar, calls this a challenge parable. A challenge parable. What is a challenge parable? Challenge parable makes you uneasy. It takes your absolute political, economic, religious, and social assumptions and tells you a story in the opposite direction that forces you to think. It takes ordinary expectations and turns them upside down. The lawyer wanted to know what he had to do for eternal life, a life worth living. Love God, love neighbor. Luke tells us that he asks this next question, who's my neighbor? In order to justify himself. Now, I imagine he had a bunch of stories about how active he was in his synagogue and how nice he was to the neighbor kid and how he had put some money into the disaster for Siloam relief fund. Because everybody knew the passage in Leviticus about loving your neighbor. Take care of your people. Take care of your own people. And Jesus offers this parable instead, a saying in religious studies, and I would quote it, but I don't even know who said it. It's said so often. We are to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. So Jesus gives essentially a picture story. It's a non-literate society. Remember, who is your neighbor? He leaves us with this image. And now we, with the help of the Spirit and the help of community, get to figure out what to do with it in our heads and our minds and our spirits and our hearts and our lives. Amos talks about a plumb line. Probably most of you know what that is better than I do, right? You're nodding. Yes. A plumb line, it's a string with a weight on the bottom. So it's a measure. You can tell if something is straight. Not that we care about straight. But you can tell what the measure is. And God has given a measure. Feed the hungry. Care for your neighbor. Love God. Our whole Christian ethic is rooted in this story of the Good Samaritan. We are people who help. We get involved, we make our neighborhoods better. These are good things. Sometimes, maybe you've heard, why should we give money to those people? Why should we help them? Why should we send money to another country when we have unfortunate people here in our country? Why should we help them? The answer is because we can. Because they're our neighbors too. We, in God's eyes, we are connected. There's no difference. Our little divisions, our national borders, God knew this world before it was created, before the Big Bang. The borders don't mean anything to God. And they're not supposed to mean that much to us. So our question is, who is in the ditch now? And I will say, there's so much to do in this world. I feel guilty a lot that I'm not doing more because there is a lot of pain. There are a lot of troubles. And we can hear this story and think, next time you see a homeless person, you should jump out of the car and hand them your credit card. And even Jesus had to sometimes walk away from healing people and go and pray and take care of his own spirit. We do what we can. And we must do what we can. And we cannot do more than what we can. And the other danger in this familiar story, that it's about individuals. One person who fell in with robbers, one priest, one Levite, one Samaritan. Now, Jesus wanted followers to step out in compassion when they encountered needs. He wanted people who would cross the road and help others, even if that other was really, really other. But this isn't just an interaction, an individual interaction between a needy person and a passerby. It is about empire and systems also. We saw that in Amos. That plumb line, it wasn't just for what's in your heart. It's for a society, a culture. You think Jesus meant to limit his teachings to a single incident? He never limited his care like that. We're misusing Jesus. If we hear him letting us off the hook by saying, well, I would help somebody. I would help somebody and prefer the short-term response to paying attention to our world. We've all heard the baby in the river parable. The townspeople, the village, saw a baby floating down the river, and they pulled the baby out and said, well, this is, oh no, there's a baby in the river. Let's take care of this baby. And the next day, there's another baby in the river. So they pull it out. And then they start to put a watch on the river. How do we get all these babies? And then someone says, how about we go downstream, upstream? Upstream. That's how gravity works. And find out, how are these babies getting in the river? Love tells us not just to help the person on the side of the road, but to say, why? Why are there people on the side of the road? And in fact, why is it so often the same people on the side of the road? If we want to walk with Jesus, if we want to measure against that plumb line, if we want the eternal life that is relationship with God, that is a good life, we have to ask. It's not enough to imagine ourselves as the Good Samaritan. The question is, who do we want to be in this parable? And how? How do we intend to walk? With whom are we walking? Who is in the ditch, and how can we care for them? Jesus himself came into the world to show us that context matters. Communities and social structures and individuals matter. May we ask good questions. May we follow. May we learn what really matters. Amen. And now our hymn is in the New Century Hymnal, number 541, Who is My Neighbor? Okay, it's like I planned that.
Thank you.
now it is time to share prayers with our community and God, who knows and loves us in all things. First, for farm workers and farmers and all the people who love the land and care for it well, making farming sustainable for future generations, thank you. And may there be safe work practices, healthy habits for all farmers so that people and communities may flourish. May we see farmers and farm workers and the earth as our neighbors. We pray for immigrants and refugees searching for a better life for themselves and their families. May we see that they are our neighbors. And are there any more prayers to share this morning?
This may be a little convoluted, but I think it bears mentioning. First of all, thank you to all who have expressed concern for my well-being. The first week of occupational therapy has been challenging, but the finger feels, and I'm very pleased with everything that's going on so far. It hurts sometimes, but it's a good hurt. Also, I live in the same house I grew up in, other than the years that I was away from the Sauk Prairie area. It's been my home for 74 years. And obviously, neighborhoods change and everything. And when Chris and I first bought the house from my parents in 86, we were the young couple on the block. And now, neighbors kind of close to me and myself are the old folks in the neighborhood. And between about seven houses in the neighborhood, there are six new children in our neighborhood. And I celebrate that on a daily basis to see young families. But there is a family close by that their little boy went to sleep Tuesday night, and he was doing very well. He was about 7 months old, and the next day he's in the hospital with some very physical challenges that the family is going through. And I offer them up for prayers as we go forward. The prognosis is good, but it's going to be a long road back for them. And things can happen in the blink of an eye, as my finger can attest. So keep everyone in your prayers.
I got a couple of things. Obviously, we're all these days, we're all aware of the terrible things that are happening related to the flooding in Texas. We're all praying for those folks, I think, every day about, with sadness about what's going on in Palestine and the Ukraine, and we all deal with those things. In addition to those things, I have some prayers of gratitude. Lots of good things are happening. One of them relates to our friend Rod Hemberger, who had his surgery on Wednesday. As of this morning, I understand he's been moved out of intensive care. I talked with him very shortly after his surgery. It was a surprise to me to get a phone call from him the day after the surgery. And while he wasn't completely coherent, he wanted to let us know that he was doing all right. And as of yesterday, Carol's report to me was that he's lost interest in doing very much other than laying, sleeping, and recovering. Not very interested in eating or anything like that, but as of last night, I understand from Shirley that he was moved out of intensive care, so that's a great, great thing to be thankful for. I want to say also thanks that we have Nick Bastian here. Some of you maybe know Nick's history a little bit. He's been around the town for all of his life, and he was a stalwart in our music program at our local school systems. You remember him. Now he's 2 years into college and starting his third year, but we're really thankful to have him here today. And finally, in gratitude. 38 years ago this week, Marcy and I stood right up there and did our wedding vows. Some of you, is there anybody here that was there for that day? A couple of people. I can tell you that the church was jammed. I mean, the balcony was full. People from all over the state, because we've lived in a lot of different places. Many of them to come and see, is this really happening? Because we had waited a long time to get married, and now we've had 38 years of to be very thankful for. So thank you.
I have to say it's a joy to see Kathy Johnson here today. And it looks like she's making great progress, and we wish her well in her recovery. And also for Rod, in case somebody didn't notice, there's a couple get well cards for him in the back of church if anybody wants to sign it.
A special thanks to Mark, who filled in for me as I raced to the church this morning. Thank you, Mark.
And no more prayers to share aloud. Let's take a few moments of silence for the prayers in our hearts. Holy God, we pray for all those affected by flooding in Texas, New Mexico, by natural disaster. And we see that they are our neighbors and treat them as such. Pray for continued healing for Rod and for Carol. Pray for healing for Denny, and for all the neighbor kids, especially the 7-month-old and his family. And Holy God, we give thanks. We give thanks for Kathy. We give thanks for long, strong, productive marriages. We give thanks for a church community that comes together to make sure everything happens. And we give thanks for Nick and for music. Holy God, hear all these prayers and the prayers we hold in our hearts. Amen. And we have, let us pray as Jesus taught us. You can use whatever words are comfortable. Debts, trespasses, God doesn't care. Our Mother, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Power and the glory forever. Amen. And we are invited to share from our so many blessings to build this community of love, of compassion, of welcome to all our neighbors. The Good Samaritan helped a needy stranger at great cost. This revolutionary act of love was life-saving. How can your gifts of time and talent and treasure and prayer provide hope to this community and the world? Steve is on it. Let us pray. God of love, we give these gifts back to you with humility, remembering times we've needed help in our own lives. Help us use the gifts we give to others as we have been loved. Amen. You may sit.
Jesus lived in a context, in a time and place, with particular friends, particular loved ones, a particular empire. And he asks us to live in our own context, our own time, our own place, our own communities, and to see our neighbors, to see them around us, to know who they are, who is not invited to table. Because at Jesus' table, everyone was welcome. On his last night, he took bread, he broke the bread, and he said, "This is my body. Eat and remember me." He took a cup of wine, blessed the wine, and said, "This is my blood. It is shed for you and for God's kingdom of love. Drink and remember. Remember this table where women and good religious folks and Samaritans and tax collectors and guys on motorcycles with a lot of tattoos, anyone, everyone is welcome. Holy Spirit, Pour out your gifts on this bread, this cup, that they may be for us bread of life and cup of love. In your name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. This is 99.7 FM Baraboo. 103.7 FM Reedsburg. AM 740. And streaming live everywhere.
Max FM. Maximum hits.
We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.